want to go back to you, Nehemiah Perry. When you say that there's no schools cricket in Jamaica, can you explain this, though? By the way, is there any cricket at all? I mean, we just finished a tournament here in Barbados. Mm-hmm. Is there any cricket at all being played in Jamaica now?
No, I mean, there is cricket there. They still play school cricket.
Right.
But when you look at the amount of school that is participating,
okay,
there's so many schools that falling out of competition, losing interest in cricket.
Mm.
And that is the sad part, because the moment you start losing players and to other sport or other things, you're not going to develop your capability of expanding in terms of a sport. You're going to continue to struggle. Mm. And you're talking dozens of schools in the region, in the Kingston area as well, and some of the school in the rural areas are not participating. It's just that they are not getting the support. Some of them are not getting the support from the school itself. The principals are not supporting cricket anymore. They are more football than athletics. That's the kind of sports that they are moving towards and spending most of their money to. Now, when you're asking to pay a coach, just a simple coach, they said they don't have the money, but they have thousands and millions of dollars to pay coaches for football and athletics. And that is the sad part, because if the school is not supportive, if the school is not behind the sport, you're not going to get that kind of support. Mm-hmm. And that is where we are in Jamaica, where a lot of the principal and the school fraternity and the Old Boys Association not supporting some of the schools as it relates to gears, because you're going to need equipment to play the game, because it's a very very expensive sport, and they're not supporting it. So if you're not getting support, the players will lose interest and you will not have any cricket. And sooner or later, you will have maybe five or six schools participating in our school cricket in Kingston area alone, and that is worrying. That is very worrying for me, and I think the JCA has to take this as a priority item to see what they can do to help these schools and to keep the interest of players, aspirants of cricket, back into the school here, so that we can get more persons participating. You're not gonna get everybody gonna be world beaters, but once you have the participation, you will get some good from somewhere there.
Mm-hmm. And Doc?
Yeah, Nehemiah, let's take Commonmere School here, for example. Commonmere had entered an initiative to get a cricket master in the name of Roddy Eswick, and had found ways of financing the cost of Roddy being employed at the school. And also there's a big old scholars group. They mentor the students, they help with tours, they help with gear. Is it that the Cricket Association is responsible for everything, or Cricket West Indies, or is it that the school's alumni and other people that care about each school should play a part in making sure that their school still participates, if that's their tradition?
Well, everyone is supposed to be on one page, in sync with each other, because we're all in this together now. We're all in this together, and it's one of the game. It's a game that we love, and we really want to see our cricket blossom. When JCA is really just the body, and we have our ISA, which is the Inter-Secondary School Association, and so on, that runs school cricket, not only cricket, but athletics and so on. And I have always said to them that we need to have a representative, or a couple of representatives from the JCA on that board, on the ISA board, so that they can add some sort of value and advice and how we can gonna run the cricket and so forth. We need a national coach. The national coach or the national coaches should be a part of that program that runs school cricket. If you look around all the schools, how many of these schools have one of the level one coaches or level two coaches? We have some youths who just get a certification, a basic certification, because they don't have a job. And because you have to have a basic coaching certificate to do coaching at schools, then you will go and do that. But that is not enough. I believe to take them to next level, to advance youngsters, to have the interest at going, you have to have, so I would say, some idol, you know, at Courtney Walsh. You want persons like, you know, Adams, you want Delroy Morgan, all these guys to come back and see if they can help, even go back to their own school to do some kind of mentorship program and so on, to keep the guys involved in cricket. And I think it's a all-hearted effort, holistic effort from every single person here in Jamaica to come together, forget about the politics, forget about who they run on this slate and who they run on that slate. And what I think you must understand, when you run on a slate and you get and you lose, even good person who are on that slate, you're not gonna be a part of your setup. And that is the problem. We are having a division here, and people like Wavell Hines and all these persons who, and Wayne and them, who could have had some value to the JCA and the program, you get rid of them because they didn't run on your slate. Now that is something that we need to look at, because this person can have serious amount of positive impact on your program in your country. And I think it's something that we really, really need to address.
Hey, well, you've indicated politics is playing a part in your cricket problem, but you did mention that there's a need for a shakeup in Jamaica, and we mentioned Trinidad and Guyana. Okay, we mentioned the school cricket problem, but what other aspects of cricket in Jamaica really need to be fortified that you think a shakeup is required?
Say that again, I didn't hear you so well.
What other aspects of cricket in Jamaica is really inhibiting the country from performing the way that it should?
Well, I mean, apart from the technical flaws and so on that you will get when you don't have good coaches coming out of schools, you need a lot of mentorship. I went to my school and I had my Calabar High School, and I had a couple of visits, you know, just to talk to the guys, you know, talk to them about life on a whole, talk to them about future, and see, you know, what can you get from this sport? You can actually get decent living from this, from the game of cricket. You know, you show them all the Andre Russells and all these guys, and Chris Gayles, as, you know, big time players who have earned a lot of money from cricket with just ability and skills. So we had, you know, everything, public relation, we need to do all of that, and how to deal with pressure. We need a lot of work. I mean, when we say work, it is like you're starting from basic here in Jamaica, because of the whole division, we need to come together as a nation and to address it, because the schools, nobody's playing cricket. We struggle. As a matter of fact, sometimes even schools that enter competition here only turn up with five players, players.
Say that again.
Because they can't even...
Say that again.
You have schools here who have enter competition here, our top school competition, the Grace Shield.
Right.
And they come with players short. And we're not one short and two short, five short, four what? Short.
What?
Right? You have players who come with black shoes, right? And things like that. It is in a disarray. It is really in a disarray. And we have to grab this by the throat and deal with it and bring all stakeholders in together and see how we can pull our heads together and get school cricket back on track. Because if they don't get school cricket back on track, your club cricket is going to be poor and your regional cricket is going to be poor. It's as simple as that. Simple ABC.
Okay, so stay with us.
So I was just going to make a very quick contribution
sure, of course.
Andrew.
Sure.
I mean, from my research, you have someone like George Headley, who would have probably Jamaican. What type of education drive has been, you know, in place in Jamaica to show persons, not about the Chris Gayles or the Russells, which are of this era, but to speak about the persons like George Headley, speak about the persons like Courtney Walsh, which at the end of the day is the ultimate in terms of Test cricket?
Well, let me just say this, though, because I am not a part of the JCA, to be honest. I run against Billy Haven and his team, myself and Mark Nita, because we thought that we could have had some value to this program and to help in a better way than what they are doing now. Mm. Okay. But at the end of the day, the voters spoke and they wanted us to be stagnant and nobody wanted to move forward. And what I do from a club level, because I'm very much involved at my club. And I find even when we have a day's play of cricket, and if as soon as we kick the game, the day's play finish, I see men jumping out of the dressing room, hustling their vehicle, and they're gone. They're gone home and they go on their phone. And things like even at lunchtime, as soon as they come into the dressing room from lunch, the first thing they pick up is their phone. Now, I don't like that. I want persons who are very focused. And I tell them, we need to sit down after a game. We need to have a discussion. We need to talk about the history of the game. Mm. We need to look at some videos and DVDs of past players and so on, some great games and so on. And they are buying into it, and just that we need to get their mind right for the game of cricket. And I find a lot of distractions are there, a lot of distractions, and for them to come to cricket and focus, that is what we are all about at Kingston Cricket Club. We want to build a professional unit, but it's very difficult when you get them from the school with that bad attitude and bad technique, and everything is just poor. So we need to address the schools from a country standpoint.
Okay, just before you come in, Stephen, we're going to go to Philo shortly, but one or two people are on the line. Let's take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess. All right. I think we've lost that call, 4341790. Stephen, let's look back at the finals on the weekend. The country meeting country, St. Peter, up against St. Philip, and St. Peter won. JCB Boscobel against St. Catharines. Talk to us about that, and then talk to us, of course, about the big events happening this weekend.
We are very pleased to have been able to complete the local season in this COVID-19 pandemic. We, as you will know, decided to go virgin across three different divisions this year. The third of those three finals was played on the weekend, and we saw the JCB Boscobel team being able to topple your team, Andrew.
Yes.
The Crème Resort St. Catherine scoring final.
Oh, and my golly.
It was just 100. You were in pain for most of the day, and I enjoyed watching you being so involved emotionally and vocally.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we are pleased that we started with 100 schools, and the fact that JCB Boscobel, with their very vociferous supporters, they came down and they were able to defend 100 runs. And they were 10 down. They were 10 runs to 5 wickets down, Andrew, at one stage. And we all thought that, hey, this low-end scoring game is going to go St. Catherine's way. But they recovered from 10 for 5, and they were able to sneak home in that final over. I want to publicly say that the efforts of all of the clubs and schools was tremendous. We put out some protocols for COVID-19. As you recall, we started back on the 15th of August, and we went through 3.5 months of a situation where we were doing something that we've never done before. Barbados Cricket Association has organized cricket in Barbados for over 125 years, but never was there a COVID pandemic that came upon us that caused us to be able to have to navigate as we did. So those three finals, and 2021, once everything goes well in terms of the health protocols, and we see how the world reacts to this virus, we are hoping to be able to really build upon what we did this year in 2020. Mm. But Andrew, we have an exciting event coming up on the 29th of November, where we are going to be honoring one of the icons of West Indies cricket in Sir Wesley Hall. And when you are having someone of Sir Wes Hall's status being erected in terms of a statue monument right next to the greatest ever cricketer, arguably, in Sir Garfield Sobers, that speaks volumes. I know that Sir Wes Hall was actually inducted in the ICC Hall of Fame back in 2015. I think it was done at Sabina Park in Jamaica. Mm. And when you had the ICC honoring him, it is most fitting now that we come here within the Barbadian context and honor such an iconic man. Now, Sir Wes Hall, as you would be aware, not only was for just about 10 or 11 years in international cricket, putting down some thunderbolts. He bowled with Sir Charles Griffith, and
therefore pair
of fast bowlers. But he also went into public life. He served as a government in the Parliament of Barbados. Anybody that knows Sir Wes Hall knows that he's extremely eloquent. He's a person that when he speaks, he can you know capture imagination for an extended period. So Sir Wes Hall overall is an exciting example for any young person, and for him to be given the opportunity here at Kensington Oval, 29th of November, to be honored in the statue being erected is truly fitting. And that event is slated for 6 p.m. on the 29th of November. And then when we finish actually putting forward the accolades, there will be a reception held where a lot of the other icons who are still here that will be sharing in that great moment for mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful indeed. All right, we got another 5 minutes left of the show. Let's go to Garfield. Charles Garfield, I know you're going to leave us very soon. Are you hopeful? Are you wishing and praying like Dusty Springfield that we're going to pull this one off in New Zealand? I know you're, you know, as a Guyanese, been out there for the last 15 years or so doing some courting and all that. But tell me, what are you thinking? Do you think we can do it, Garfield? Talk to me.
Take your time, Garfield. I think you want to double that. That 15, Andrew.
Is it 30? Is it 30 now?
It's more like 29.
Oh, yeah. you've been there 29 years.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And that's why you're sounding like a New Zealander then, because you've been away from Guyana so long. I'm not hearing north and south. I'm hearing you sounding like a New Zealander there.
I'd have to jumps.
Jumps. And said, buddy, hello, buddy.
Now, I remember playing against Nehemiah.
Yes.
And Philo. You,
really?
Yeah, that's towards the.
Yes.
Yeah.
You played against Nehemiah Perry and Philo Wallace? Gentlemen, I didn't know you were that old, Philo and Nehemiah. Oh, my God.
Yes, we are.
It's called growing up, Andrew. It's called growing up.
I don't like what that infers about me. Yes. We say that they all.
I'm tupsing. Just before you go, though, I'm sure you're hoping that the guys can do well. Garfield?
Yeah, I am. I really am hoping that they compete hard, compete well. I think one of the challenges they have is their. I mean, the first three games are T20 games.
Yes.
I mean, they've had one 3-day game where they're practicing a three-day format, trying to get guys to spend some time in the middle, and then they're into the slugfest, which is different again. And their first up game is on a peculiar ground. Eden Park, the dimensions are quite strange, so there's so the tactics and strategies have to be spot on there. I mean, you've got very short straight boundaries and one area in particular, the at fine leg and third man at the on one side is pitiful, really. It's really small, so the bowlers will have to have their plans well, and batsmen we'll have to work out, because one thing's for sure, that the Kiwi bowlers are going to have their plans. They've played on that ground a lot, and they're familiar with how to play and how to bowl on it. So I'm really hopeful that we can compete. I think I agree with most of the guys in the fact that they are going to struggle. New Zealand they play extremely well at home, and they know the conditions. They also they are a quality side. I think the shorter version sort of puts evens the keel out a little bit, because I was looking at the rankings the other night, and when it comes to the T20 and the shorter versions, West Indies has in the top 20 players. We've got world ranked players bowling and batting, and precious little or none at all. I think only Jason Holder gets into the top 20 in Test cricket.
Right. Okay. Quick word from you. Quick word from you, Philip.
Batsman's at 42.
Right. Thanks,
Andrew, just like to...
Yeah. Yes. Quick word, Philip.
Yeah, I'd just like to congratulate Bosco Bell
for
winning. I have a good friend in Bosco Bell by the name of Tom Farley. He'll be having a wonderful time from his races to St. Catharines. Yes. But I also want to congratulate Sir Wesley Hall for his great achievements over his lifetime. And I think it's a fitting place to put him next to his great friend, Sir Gary. Mm. And I do hope that West Indies as well can understand the importance of identifying greatness. I think Jamaica as well, with Perry on this program, we see the importance of identifying greatness in sportsmen and women. Barbados, obviously, we identify all cricketers. And I do hope that West Indies can do well, Andrew. But deep down inside of me, I feel we're going to struggle in New Zealand. But I hope they can learn and learn quickly. And let's rally around them, despite all that has been said, Andrew.
We want to rally around West Indies to do well in New Zealand.
You know, we'll criticize them, but we want them to do well. And I want to wish them all the very best.
All right. All right. Nehemiah Perry, you got 30 seconds before we go. You can do a lot in 30 seconds, Nehemiah. We know that.
No, just want to, it's great to see you guys. You know, Garfield, I haven't seen you since, when we played against you in Guyana. That was when about 1983, I don't remember, 86 thereabout, 87?
Yes, something like that. I started in 83 and finished in 1991.
Yeah. But, just waiting to see how well we do in New Zealand.
Right.
I'm very optimistic, but at the same time, I still believe, again, we're going to have a tough time down there. But the preparation, as I said, it seems to be going well and so forth. But good to see you guys, and I enjoyed the show.
Well, thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. Of course, Nehemiah Perry, of course, we hear that you're going to be running in the next elections in terms of the JCA. We're going to certainly develop that story a little bit later on. Thanks to you, Garfield Charles. Thanks to Philo Wallace there in England, about to have some fish and chips. And of course, we want to thank our good friend Stephen Leslie as well, and of course, Dr. Andrew Ford. And to the West Indies team, if you itch for success, then keep on scratching. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.